Welcome in to the Friday Drive at 5, as my wonderful producer is saying. Jenny, you know what? These techie things are just too much. Okay, welcome in, you all. This is Crossroads with Jenny this afternoon, and we're trying to go live because everybody's saying you need to get on live, and so we're trying, and it's not.
I hate to interrupt, but this is what happened last week, and it's your cover.
That's right. I forgot.
I'll come help you out.
In a minute. Yeah. You come in
okay,
here.
Yeah. Okay. You can just go ahead and do your show.
She produces not only radio, but video. She's awesome. The wonderful Rachel. And Rachel Adams is our going to take care of us this afternoon. And in the studio with me this afternoon is like one of the most incredible people, Joy Gartner. She has been on with us many times and other shows here at the station. She's with Walking with Joy, which is her ministry, and she is a delight to always have around. So we're glad you're here and glad that you didn't mind being sideways for a few minutes on Facebook.
Thank you, Jenny. It's so good to be here. And life does get us sideways often. And that's probably why I'm here, because my life got sideways.
Yeah. Many years ago. And the thing about it is that there is hope.
There is hope and there is healing, but it doesn't just happen. Right. We have to be able to be willing to put some actions into that time and to do something different, to learn. Mm-hmm. So Walking with Joy is not only a ministry to help, but it's to educate so that we can know what's going on in our world and be part of that process.
Well, and, you know, the one thing we want to do this afternoon for sure is to encourage you. We want you to be able to when we're finished with this show today, is to say, I never thought about it that way, or I didn't realize that that would help. And so that's what we want to do, is just to not only to encourage you, but to give you some insight and some hope and things, because we all suffer through losses.
We do. And part of that is, for those who haven't heard my story, let me just give you a brief synopsis. I don't know, do I look at you or do I look at the Facebook?
Oh, you can look at either way you want to.
Well, several years ago, and you know this, you've walked with me a long time in my journey, of which I'm very grateful. But several years ago, just a short time, in 3 years' time, my 35-year marriage ended in a devastating divorce. Excuse me. Because of that, I lost my home, I lost my job, I lost my community, because people didn't know what to do with me. You have friends that know both of you, and they didn't know whether to take his side, my side. So lost all of that community and lost my mom, and I didn't know what to do. And like you said, you know, we're here to give hope. And part of that hope was for me is to find that there were tools, and I didn't have tools to walk out of that dark place. But, you know, just thinking of a divorce, the loss of a home, could be the home through fire or through moving, the loss of I also was diagnosed with cancer in that time, a loss of my mom. So, you know, most often when we think of a list like that, we attach the word grief to probably just one of them.
Death.
Okay.
And also, when you talk about divorce, you've lost dreams.
Yes, and that is part. And part of the grief recovery helped me to find out that things that I hadn't attached to grief were losses. And every loss is a death. In the divorce, you know, you lose your dreams. Mm-hmm. You lose what the celebrations that you plan to have, you know, when he was going to turn 60, you had this party, you know, planned, or when you hit that 45 or 40 year wedding anniversary, all of a sudden you don't have that. And also with a divorce, you lose your identity, because somebody has rejected you and they chose to leave. And so then you think, oh, who am I? Am I not worth anything? And all of those losses are really a death of some kind. And when we call them a death, then we realize the impact that they make. You know, it's not just something to get over, to walk through.
Yeah.
And so grief recovery honored me to say, all right, I'm feeling bad. And the reason I'm feeling bad is because I've suffered all of these deaths. And they're just sitting. We say oftentimes in my small group that all those losses that come in, go into my teapot right here inside of my gut.
And start brewing.
They start brewing. And they just sit there. And I don't know what to do with them. And they just kind of get bigger and bigger and bigger. And because I don't have any tools, or I don't have the right tools, I thought I brought it with me. I thought I brought my toolbox, because I like to set my toolbox out there. And, you know, you open up a toolbox. I have a friend that was a professor once, so he's an academic, and nothing against academic people because I love them. But he had problems once with his in his house, and somebody came over and says, well, do you have a toolbox? And he said, yeah. So he got his toolbox out, and he opened it up, and inside there was a ruler and a fly swatter. So there was no way that the guy could fix the door, because there wasn't a hammer, there wasn't a screwdriver, there wasn't a level. And that's the way I was in life. I opened up my toolbox, and I didn't have the tools to come out of that dark, dark place that I was in.
You know, sometimes too, Joy, I'm sure you find this also, that we don't even realize that we're grieving.
No.
That we think we have come through something, let's say a death, and we don't realize that we've continued to grieve, that we really have not gone through the process.
No, exactly. And most of us put on a mask. We cover it up, and we think that we're good to go. And we talk about that in groups. And we talk about how, you know, I can eat my way to get out of that pain. I can use drugs or alcohol to cover up that pain. I can use shopping. You know, we've heard of shopaholics. You can go to work and just put all your time into work, so you're a workaholic. Gambling, exercise, all of those things. We do that because, you know, I don't want to feel that pain. We live in a microwave generation where we want everything fixed right now. And when it doesn't go away, we cover it up. And so we think we're good to go, but recovery has taught me that if we don't do something and we don't go through that mountain right now, it's going to come out sideways. And I may not realize what the sideways, I may come out in like depression. Did you know, I was looking up grief, and there is a Blue Monday. You know how we talk about Blue, Blue Christmas, that Elvis song? There's also a Blue Monday here in January, and, you know, if we just look outside, just the weather can make us feel down, and sometimes that can trigger us, because grief is complicated. We can associate different things to what we lost, and then we think, oh, it's just the weather, and so I'll get busy and do something.
Yeah. Yeah, I had actually somebody ask me this week about that.
About Blue Monday?
And it wasn't just about the Blue Monday. It was about this time of year.
Yes.
Because we can look outside and see how gray it is.
Yes.
And it is true, because without a lot of sunshine and light, you do start feeling that kind of that seasonal sort of depression. And then you have other things going on that contribute. But also, I find that this time of year, we're more isolated. Tend to stay inside.
Yes.
You know, you don't want, you may make a decision to go, you're going to go visit someone, and then you go, well, you know, it's cold outside. So, and community is very important, isn't it?
Community is huge. I believe we were created in community, and so community is part of our healing. And when we isolate, we're trying to do it all ourselves, and we cannot do. We need each other to help through. You know, like what you were saying, January is such a difficult month in that we've gone through the holidays.
And so it's a letdown a little bit.
It's a letdown. Maybe we've experienced some things through the holidays that, you know, that relationship didn't work. The kids didn't come home. I didn't get to go on that trip. This time of the year, it's also the bills from the holidays are coming in. So we're overwhelmed by finances. You know, and so all of that can be true. So we've got to make a plan. We've got to be able to look forward to something and ask for help. Well, asking for help is so huge, and we both know that, don't
we? Yeah, and sometimes it's hard to ask for help, and sometimes we don't know where to ask for help.
Right.
One of the things I want to say to you, Joy, I quoted you last week with my guest, Melissa, but we were talking about and this kind of applies in a way where we're as sick as our secrets.
Yes.
And again, it's when we talk about our grief, it starts to diffuse the power that grief has over us.
Yes. It's just like when you have a wound of some kind and you keep it covered and you just, you know, you don't take care of it. Bringing something out into the light will bring the sunlight, the air can heal it. That's the same thing with our secrets. When we bring those things out and we say, you know, how we're actually feeling. In fact, grief recovery talks about what I wish were different, mm-hmm. better, and more. And communicating that to someone. When we don't communicate, that's when the grief can take over and we can be obsessed with it. We can numb out somehow. Mm-hmm. So by sharing that, and sometimes the first step is to realize in myself what do I wish were different, better, and more, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had someone come through the grief recovery that she had lost a child when he was just 6 weeks old. And, I just can't imagine that at all. I have no way to imagine that. And so as she was working through this process, this action plan of grief recovery, she started to look at what she wished would have been different. Mm-hmm. And the different was, I wish she had never been diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And then the better was, well, I wish, even though I had this diagnosis, that there was a treatment for it. We could be going through the treatment, you know, some kind of injections or chemo or clinical trials or something. Just mm-hmm. there was still hope. And then the more that she wished just broke my heart. She says, I wish that I could have seen him turn 5 years old and buy him that little Star Wars backpack and get on the school bus when he goes to kindergarten. Or wish I could have taught him how to jump off the high dive at high board at Inskip Pool, or to grow up and have children. You know, those are all the things, like you said, grief is complicated. It's not a one-time thing.
No.
Once something happens, and the more that I walk with people who are coming through that grief, you know, I used to hear, oh, that first year is bad. Mm-hmm. You know, and once you get through that first year, then you're okay.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing that second and third and fourth year are difficult, too, when you haven't done the actions to mm-hmm. go through that because you think you should be a little bit further. It mm-hmm. shouldn't bother you this time. So you kind of let your guard down and you don't get prepared for mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, and it's all different.
Oh, yeah. Grief looks different on all of us, and we need to recognize what grief looks like. Some people, it can be depression, and this time of year kind of feeds into that, of course. But some people, when they grieve, are angry. Mm-hmm. And that can turn into rage, and it can turn into even violence. I believe, and the statistics are coming out, that under the violence here, and not just Knoxville, but mm-hmm. in the gangs and the road rage and all of those things, that it's a broken heart. And, you know, you probably have heard this quote, too. Unfortunately, I've said this. Wish I hadn't. But, you know, we say to our young boys and little boys, big boys don't cry. Mm-hmm. So what do big boys do? Because big boys have their hearts broken, too.
Yeah.
And we girls don't get by because they say, put your big girl panties on and just move on, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're not dealing with what the problem is.
Yeah.
And when we don't, then it gets worse.
Mm. Well, we're going to take a break. This is the Friday Drive at 5 Crossroads with Jenny. We'll be back.
Now, back to Crossroads with Jenny Bushkell.
The Joy 620 talk line is open.
Call 865-342-5620.
And welcome back to the Friday Drive at 5 Crossroads with Jenny, where we're sharing stories of hope and encouragement. And this afternoon, I have Joy Gartner in the studio with me. It's Walking with Joy. And so since we had Facebook Live, I'm turning my camera around. So I'm going to get Joy on here. And then in a little bit, we'll try to redo this again the way it should be done. But anyway, we're talking about making peace with your past and how you can have better relationships. But also, what happens when we go through grief, and how, and just to recap a little bit, earlier with Joy here about how different grief is and how grief is not just there's not like a limit to grief. We can grieve for years about losses, and it doesn't necessarily, we're not just talking about death. We're not just talking about death of a human. You know, people lose pets. Mm-hmm. And they're so important to so many people in their lives. And so And people lose babies, unborn babies. You know, there are things that happen in life. And even though we may not be able to, we've not experienced some of those things, they're still very real and very deep in a lot of people.
Yes, we can't judge someone's losses at all. I've had people to grieve all sorts of things. I had, as you were saying about an unborn baby, I've had one lady to grieve her virginity. She had been raped. Mm-hmm. And so loss is all sorts of different things, and it's whatever's precious to your heart. So we can grieve a physical loss of a death. We can grieve divorce. We can grieve the loss of your health. I'm a cancer survivor, so that was part of it. Even if we have just like bad knees or scoliosis or, you know, something like that, we have lost something, mm-hmm. all right? And many people in recovery grieve the loss of their addiction, because once they get clean and sober, we think this is great, and it is. But there's a lot of relapse, and the relapses can be because they've lost their best friend. Mm-hmm. When the hard times of life come and the pain, like the song that was just playing, come, they don't know who to go to, mm-hmm. because they don't have that drug or alcohol.
Yeah.
And we can even grieve good things like retirement. How many people do you know, Jenny, that retire and 1 week later they're back someplace else working?
Yeah. Or you hear about, unfortunately, some people pass on after retirement. It's like they kind of lose their identity, as you said earlier, and probably grieve that.
Lose their purpose,
mm-hmm.
Lose their community.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to be able to honor ourselves and know when something feels bad. When look at that loss and say, okay, it's like a death. So if we can name it, I always go, we have to name it, claim it, and then we can tame it. So by recognizing what are losses, and your losses are different than my loss.
And the way that I grieve my losses are different than the next person. You can't say, I know how you feel.
Nobody knows how you feel. I'm a breast cancer survivor, so there's lots of people that have gone through that, but I've learned I can't say that because I don't know what other situation that goes before it. Like, I was going through a divorce when my cancer was going on, so that's a whole different set of situations. You know, we're not baked in the same oven.
Mm-hmm.
We can have loaves of bread, but we're not the same oven, same temperature. But it's important to name how we each grieve, mm-hmm. what that looks like on us, so we'll know. Because, example, when I get sad or when I get angry, I cry. And I didn't put that connection because I thought when I cried I was only sad.
Mm-hmm.
But so now I know that when I'm crying, I can be sad, but I also can be angry because that's how I show that anger. So you can show, you know, your anger or your grief by depression or anger, sadness, or it can be, oh, I'm the Energizer Bunny and I'm going to be doing, you know, I deny that that's even out there. I get busy doing something else.
Yeah.
And I can isolate by getting busy, or I can isolate by staying at home and being by myself. So using the right language is mm-hmm. important for us.
Yes.
And we use masks, you know, those things to cover up so we don't feel the pain. It's okay to go to work, but if all I'm doing is working, and I'm working for the motivation of, mm-hmm. I just don't want to feel,
yeah,
then we're using it for the wrong reason. And so we've got to be able to name that.
So as I'm listening to you and we're looking at all the ways, and there's more.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You know,
yes.
I think about when I got married, and I left my church family mm-hmm. to move just across town to my new church family, and how the first few weeks I grieved the loss of my church family. Because I was so used to every Sunday morning, I saw this was my community. Yes. This was the people that I was doing life with for years. And so I remember that part of grief. But what I want to get to now is, like, you have a very exciting and practical way to deal with grief. And I want to say this too. Earlier we were talking about the light, to bring it to the light. Mm-hmm. The Lord just came across me, just the we bring it to the right place, because He never expected us to grieve alone. We talk about community, but we also know that with Jesus Christ in our life, that we don't do anything alone. And so that's part of the good news we're going to share today.
Yes. And grief, let me just say this. Grief is the normal and natural way that we feel when we've lost something. Mm-hmm. So don't feel bad. Don't shame yourself. But when we get stuck in grief, that's when it gets, hurtful to us. Mm-hmm. So when we're grieving, we need to be in community, and we can take some action steps to let go of the pain. I do small groups with the grief recovery method, and at the end, people are have transformed their pain into peace. Mm-hmm. They've let go of the pain. Now, that's not to say, Jenny, that there's still not sadness there, okay? Because we've loved that person or that church. All right, so that really is an honor to them. But instead of being resentful or regretful of what I didn't get to say or what I didn't get to do with that person, I don't have those regrets anymore once I've gone through this process. So instead of just not looking at the past, I can now look at the past and remember all the good things.
Yeah.
Instead of the pain of those things that I didn't do or I didn't say.
I think that's a good thing that you just said, too, about the people that we miss saying something to.
That's the whole thing of grief recovery, okay? Let me give you a good definition for me that what grief is, because what you were saying about the church, grief is the friction or the conflicting feeling I have from what I had and then what I don't have. Mm-hmm. And in that space in between, there are all these things that I wish I would have said that were different, better, and more. And the grief is not being able to say that out loud. And I don't have to say it to the person. Many times the person is toxic and it would re-injure me,
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're dead. But I can say it in a safe community, like grief recovery, or with good friends, that when I say my story, share with all of those things inside, the only thing they say back to me is, thank you for sharing.
Aww.
There's no judgment, no criticism, no, well, what were you thinking, girl?
We're going to take a break. This is the Friday Drive at 5, Crossroads with Jenny. When we come back, we're going to give some tickets away. So you want to be sure and stick around here. Write this number down, 865-342-5620. We'll be right back. I'm Jenny Bushkale, and I'm here with my guest, Joy Gartner, who is with Walking with Joy, and you can find her at walkingwithjoy.com.
Yes.
Yeah, and is that the best way to reach you?
It is, and you can register for classes that are coming up, and just check on that. So I've got classes in Maryville in January, beginning the next week, in fact, uh-huh. And then I've got three starting in February, one in Northwest Knoxville, one in Powell area. To Impel area.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So here's what we're going to do this segment. All right. We are in the Vaughn Pharmacy Studios of Joy 620 WRJZ. Our number here is 865-342-5620. We're going to give away four Ripley's Museum tickets. They're good through the whole year. That is awesome, Rachel. You are rocking it.
You can go to any of the Ripley's attractions as well.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gee, that is
great. It's not just for the aquarium. You can use it for the aquarium if you want, and it's up to three. So you can do the aquarium and you can do two other Ripley's attractions as well on top of that.
Oh my gosh. So the
can
aquarium,
I call in?
The aquarium.
You need a restroom break, right?
Yes, I do. All right. I have my phone.
So again, the number is 865-342-5620. Just give Joy and I and Rachel. I almost said Roz. She's Roz when she's in our sister station, WETR. And so we just love her. She's great. So we're lighting up over here. So, huh? A trivia? No, we'll just say hey. If they'll just say hello to us. We didn't think of a trivia. So, but anyway, so call back. Something just happened. We just had three lights and now we have none. 342-5620 for these great tickets. It's for a family of four. So, I want to find out, where are you going to be having those?
The one that starts January 16th is at First Church in Maryville.
Okay.
And February 1st, there will be a support group that begin, and they're just 6 weeks in time. They're not ongoing ones. Mm-hmm. But the one February 1st will be at Ebenezer United Methodist Church.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the Powell United Methodist Church will have a six-week series starting February 27th. And then a 3-day intensive on March the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Oh, that's great. Okay, we have a caller. Karen, hi, welcome in.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
We're good. How are you?
Good. I can't believe I got through.
I know. I'm so glad. In fact, it lit up, and I don't know what happened in there. Rachel was balancing a couple of phones, it looked like. And then, so we're glad you're joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you're the winner of four tickets. To
Yay! That's so exciting.
Yes. That'll brighten up your day, won't it?
Yeah. And so before we hang up, I'm going to get you to give Rachel some more information. But is this my Karen and Joy's Karen that we know?
No.
Okay. We'll get to know you, maybe.
Well, we'll get to know you. You sound like
okay.
Another. You sound so much.
I love your show.
Well, thank you. Yes. I'm so glad that you called us and you're telling us about that, because it's always good to hear. It's encouraging.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is very encouraging. And we're so glad that you joined us. And we hope we have some more great shows coming up in the next few weeks. We've got lots of things going on. And but it's just fun to – and we're also on Facebook Live. So they're talking about putting a camera in here and – getting things going. So anyway, Karen, thank you for calling, and hold on and have a great time.
Thank you.
Okay, hold on.
Congratulations.
Okay, so anyway, how do they register for those?
If you go to www.walkingwithjoy.com.
Oh, good.
So that's all you have to do. Just click on there.
And how long do you do these? How long does
they are 6 weeks in, for the support group, mm-hmm. and they're 2 hours each night of that. Or I can do the 3-day intensive, mm-hmm. or I also do one-to-one coaching.
Okay.
And so you just call, or just not call, but get to the website, uh-huh. www.walkingwithjoy.com,
yeah,
to do that.
Well, and I just looked down and saw this job loss.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think I've ever grieved a job loss, but I know that people do.
Yeah.
And especially when you're in a situation where you're responsible for a family, your children, and mm-hmm. And then sometimes you have a great job, and then you think, God's calling me to do something different. And then you look back and say, wow, should I have done that?
Yeah. You know, grief is, like we said, the end of something, or it can also be the change in something that's been regular. So like a job loss, uh-huh. you can get another job, but there are still things that you are sad about, that you feel like it's been a loss mm-hmm. from the old job. All right. So again, it is looking at the both end of things and giving honor that this is good and exciting. This is hard.
Mm-hmm.
This is
mm-hmm.
hard. And honoring our own feelings and working through that so that we can look back at the good and say, oh, yeah, that was great.
Joy, what do you do about children? Let's say a family gets transferred. So you're picking up, you're moving, you're leaving your home, your church family, and you've got children in school. And how does that happen? Do we realize that that is a huge loss for them? Do we actually realize that?
Well, I hope we do, and I think a lot of parents, you know, try to do some preventative and to plan ahead so that it can prepare the way for the child to enjoy that. But mm-hmm. We've got to what we call when children grieve, because grief recovery is for people over 18. But if the parent can handle and model grief and loss, then that shows the child how to do that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, to be able to express, yeah, I feel sad, you know, to honor, to name it, and then claim the damage done. Oh, I've lost my friends. I've lost my favorite house. You know, I lost my church. All, you know, I've lost that community that I loved. Mm-hmm. So you claim that damage and you talk about it. You know, it's about talking. Grief is the undelivered communication. So when we resolve that, we talk. We deliver the communication. We say it to a safe person. Mm-hmm. And just getting that out there into the light, and you can either use the lower letter L or the capital L, light heals. Light, physical light heals. Light of the world, Jesus heals. Yeah. But we've got to get it out. And as long as we're keeping things inside of us, we're trying to do it on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when I'm the one in control, that means I'm trying to be God. And I can't do that. I'm not. And so by getting that out, we can talk. God can heal it when we give it to them. And our whole goal in grief recovery is to complete the pain. Mm-hmm. Complete the pain. Not find closure, because I don't want to close the door on that child that died. I don't want to close the door on the job that I lost because I loved it, you know, or the marriage that had so many good things. I can't deny that it happened. I can't close the door and say, oh, that's over there. It's always in my heart. So that's part of the process, too, to know that it's in my heart to value it, treasure it, and honor myself for doing that. But I can complete the pain to that so that I can look at the good things. Mm-hmm. I can look back and say, oh, that was great. And so there may be some places that I either need to, some of the undelivered communications, maybe I need to say I'm sorry for something. And again, I might not be able to say it to the person that's dead or is toxic and would come back and hurt me, but I can say it to you or to a small group that is safe. So I may need to say, I'm sorry I did that, mm-hmm. or I'm sorry that it just didn't work out, whatever you need to say. The second thing that we may need to say in that communication is, I forgive you for this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I forgive you for leaving. I forgive you for hurting me. Now, forgiveness is such a huge, huge thing. And you talk about grief not having a time, but forgiveness can take a long time, too. And it's, I think some of the things about forgiveness that prevent us, the obstacles, are we don't understand. You know, forgiveness is for me. I am forgiving, I'm letting go for me so that I'm not tied into that pain over and over again.
And that control, that not to give that the control over us,
And forgiveness is not saying that what you did was right. It's not saying that what you did was not significant. Forgiveness is letting go. Forgiveness for me is not wanting to hurt the person that hurt me. It is, I wish you well. And that's hard to do. So grief recovery gives us another word. It gives us the word like a baby step there. We can start off by saying, I acknowledge that what you did hurt me, and I'm not going to let it hurt me anymore.
Okay, we're going to take a break. This is the Friday Drive at 5, Crossroads with Jenny. We'll be back in just a minute taking you home this last segment. We are in the Vaughn Pharmacy Studios here at Joy 620 WRJZ, and we're so glad that you're with us this afternoon. We're talking about getting over grief and losses through Joy has walkingwithjoy.com, but she's also leading this, it's called
the Grief Recovery Method. And it's making peace with our past. And I want to give some hope before, I don't know, this is probably a short session.
It is a short session.
So let me give you some hope for people that have come through this and gone through the process. This gives you an action plan. It puts tools in your toolbox to move beyond the losses in our life, whether it's a death, a divorce, the loss of a job, loss of a health, retirement, the losses of that and moving, anything that we lose. And I have one lady that her son died, and it was 12 years. And when she walked in that first night, she said, I feel like the funeral was yesterday. But after coming through this process of letting go and forgiving and being able to talk to someone about what she wished was different, what she wished would have been better, that what she wished that she could have experienced that she didn't get to experience, and say to that mm-hmm. son, she said, "I'm finally free. Finally free." And you could actually see the countenance in her face just was changed. She was her face was lighter. She had this smile. You could just see that change.
Oh, isn't that great?
It was. And April has the best line that I love. She said, "I have more tools in my toolbox for the relationship with others, and I can model better for my children." And then she ended with, "I found my smile again."
Oh,
I love that, because so many of us have lost our smiles and we're not even sure why.
Mm-hmm.
And so by being able to name what causes that loss, being able to share with somebody else the damage that's done and what I wish I would have done, the apologies I need to make, the forgivenesses, and the significant statements where you just need to say one more time, "Mom, I love you."
Oh.
"Mom, you're a great mom."
Yeah.
Or it could be, "Gee, you were a jerk," you know. You need to say those last things.
Yeah, you need to be able to say, you know,
how we feel and not be judged for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that gives us freedom. And so by getting it out into the light and talking and having this action step-by-step process, mm-hmm. that we can let go of that pain that's associated with that grief and remember things in our past that were painful, and now just remember them with the joy and the peace that we want.
And so give our listeners one more time the first couple that you're going to be doing.
January 16th over at First Methodist, United Methodist Church. And
is that in Maryville?
In Maryville, uh-huh. Yes, in Maryville. And then February 1st at Ebenezer United Methodist Church.
Oh.
And then February 27th at Powell United Methodist Church, and look at walkingwithjoy.com.
Yeah, and that's great, because you're talking about going in different areas, so that gives people access to a more reasonable way to get
oh,
there.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah.
And it worked for them. And
or call me for one-to-one coaching, too.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And you also will come and speak if somebody's looking for a speaker.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, so you just get a hold of her there at the website. And Joy, when you first started doing this, how did God really bring you into this as far as finding this particular method and
My journey, mm-hmm. Because my own journey of pain, I kept looking and looking and looking for things that would help me. And it wasn't just one thing. You know, I needed counseling. I needed small groups at church. I needed a pastor to talk to. I needed friends to talk to. And this, because I kept seeking, and Jeremiah 29:31, the one after "I have plans for you," it says, "If you seek, sincerely, diligently seek, you will not be disappointed." So I have sought and sought and sought, and God just keeps bringing things into my life. And one day, a friend of mine just handed me the workbook to this and said, "Joy, I think you might like this." And I started reading this, Jenny, and it took me about 10 years to get over my divorce and all the things I lost in that, and that loss of that dream. And I read this book, and in this book, it had everything I'd done in 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Spiritual principles, the recovery AA principles, all of this is in there. It's written in neutral language. So I was talking to the district attorney's office yesterday, so I can take it there because it's neutral language. But if you have a spiritual ear, you will hear those spiritual principles.
Yeah, well, that's great, because I know that this has got to be just one of the most a great blessing for this.
It is. It gives purpose to my pain, and I love to walk beside people to help them find peace and joy again.
I love this. I was getting ready to say, I love it. It says, make peace with your past, and you can move beyond loss. And whether it's death, divorce, the end of addiction, as she said earlier, loss of health, loss of a pet, job. There's so many things. And when we talk about losing dreams, that's something that nobody is going to know how much you have thought through and planned for and hoped for. When we were talking about loss of a child,
mm-hmm.
and the things that you want for them, and that everything's changed. And, you know, many times we were saying before we came back on the air that, we go through things that people don't even realize that we're going through.
Right.
And we don't realize how long we can grieve.
Right.
And but I love what you said about the circle, completing the circle.
Yeah, completing that pain. But I need community because I need somebody to listen to what I'm saying. And you know, Jesus or Isaiah says that the Messiah, the healer, comes to heal that brokenhearted. We are healed by his stripes. It was through pain that the healing comes. And so,
well, Joy, thank you for being here. We're going to get you back on here. It's just always so fun to have you here.
Thank you, Jenny. I love being
here. You're such
a
joy. Joy's a joy. Anyway, we hope you all have a great weekend. Congratulations, Karen, for winning those tickets. And we're going to have some more prizes coming up in the next few weeks. But we are so glad you joined us. We hope you have a safe weekend. Maybe we're going to have snow. Maybe we're going to get ice. Maybe we're not going to get anything. Oh, Rachel's going, mm-hmm. So we must be. Thank you for joining us on Facebook Live. I finally think I got it figured out.
Good for you. I'm proud of you, Jenny.
Yay. Okay. Y'all have a great weekend.